Did you ever hear somebody say something and it just gnaws at you? You cannot get it out of your head. That's how I live my life. My name's Ron Fitzwater, and this is Here's My Point, the podcast. Anyone who knows me very well knows how much I truly love the First Amendment. And my love for the First Amendment goes far beyond that as just a reporter and a blogger. It's as an American citizen that I find the most love for the First Amendment. People that know me well will tell you that's because, well, I don't know when to shut up. But I like to think of it more as looking at issues from where I like to call the reality-based point of view. The reason for bringing up the First Amendment in this my very first podcast is because it's a comfort zone topic for me. I love to talk about the First Amendment. I do so much that last week on my blog, Here's My Point, the online edition, I brought up the First Amendment and kind of discussed how it applies to us now and how it applies to us in terms of what the government would like to do with us and our First Amendment rights, which I personally believe is put the kibosh to them. I don't think that our government is happy with the fact that we have the right to say what we want to say. Just like most governments, they will try to squash, you know, your free speech anytime that they can. Much like what I think they've done with the Occupy movement, which started off peaceful and you had your 10% that acted like total idiots. And of course, that gave the government a reason to come down on the entire movement, something I think that's wrong and hypocritical because, as I said in my blog, at the same time that they're criticizing the Occupy folks for, well, engaging in peaceful demonstration and stating their mind and how they feel about what the government is doing with our economy, they're also praising Egyptian and Syrian citizens, and they're raising up against their governments loudly and forcibly at times. You can't be the government and agree with them being against you. I guess that's just not allowed, but you also can't be hypocritical and say that it's okay for others to do, but not your citizens. Especially when you come from a country that, well, kind of invented free speech. Now, I have never considered myself to be psychic in any way. I don't think I read minds, could tell the future, or anything like that. I do feel that I have a good grasp on people and being able to look at people and their motivations for things and finding a way to almost predict what they're going to do. But predictions as a specific thing is not my bag. So imagine my surprise that after doing a whole piece on free speech, the First Amendment, but primarily on free speech, that the very following week I would be treated, along with all of you, to the national catastrophe that was Rush Limbaugh's comments about Georgetown law student Sandra Fluck. Fluck, actually. She pronounces it Fluck. Former Speaker Pelosi pronounces it Fluke, which is how it's spelled, but Fluck is how she said it, so we're going to go with that. Anyway, Limbaugh basically listened to probably a very short bit of the young woman's 11-minute testimony before the unofficial committee looking into the Affordable Care Act and its portions that deal with women's health and specifically contraception. What the young lady pretty much wanted was to make the point that women's health is important, contraception is important, and that they should have their contraceptive needs paid for through the Affordable Care Act. On one side of the aisle, you're going to have a group of people that go, okay, sure, because they're socially liberal, and they say, well, you know, people are going to have sex, and if we don't want to have a ridiculous number of babies being born or a ridiculous number of abortions being performed, well, then what we need to do is provide contraceptive help for these students. Well, Okay, I can see that. I truly can, because we're not a Puritan society today, and sex is looked at pretty well offhanded by most people. Now that's, you know, for each person, the decision of whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is to be made. Some people feel the same way about smoking and some illegal drugs, alcohol, other things. But these are all personal choice issues. Well, being a libertarian at heart, I'm a more conservative libertarian than liberal, but being a libertarian, I think that falls into one of those things that is personal responsibility as well as, you know, personal choice. As far as contraception being provided to college students, I think, you know, a big box of condoms at the nurse's station isn't a bad idea. Works in the military, you can go down to the med clinic and pick up condoms all day long. The military doesn't want their soldiers to have a bunch of unwanted children running around. And so, you know, I would think that most parents, while they don't want to think about their teenage children having sex, well, they would much rather they be protected than be having unprotected sex, especially at a time in their lives when becoming pregnant or getting someone pregnant would pretty much derail everything they're in college trying to do. It's hard to go to college, be a parent, a young parent. I know many people do it and do it successfully, but it doesn't make it easy to do. It's very difficult. So I understand what Ms. Flux's point was. I understand what she was going after in trying to say that, you know, if you're going to give women's health coverage to college students, then, well, let's cover reproductive health as well as other forms of health. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sorry. I disagree with the right that says that there is, because I am of a belief that people are going to do what people are going to do. And if you're a young person, you're going to have sex. It is genetically driven inside of you. Some people are able to overcome that. Some people are not. The majority are not. And so I think it's not a bad idea. But the point of what we're talking about today is Limbaugh's right as an American under free speech to come out and tell his listening audience that in no uncertain terms he had no respect for the young woman and what she had to say in front of the congressional committee. What happened was that on February 29th, Limbaugh on his daily show asserted the fact that that this young woman was asking to be paid to have sex. Well, first of all, that's a ridiculous premise to come from, and he's completely inflating this situation to be something that it's not. She wasn't asked to be paid for services. She was simply saying, add it to health care. And then he made the comment, what does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? It makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex. She's having so much sex, she can't afford contraception. She wants you to make me and you and the taxpayers pay for her to have sex. Now, aside from the fact that that was not what she said, which is another debate entirely, Limbaugh was exercising his First Amendment rights to express his opinion and say that that's what he felt. Yes, it was distasteful. Yes, it was wrong. Yes, it was over the top. But it's Rush Limbaugh. This is who he is. This is what he is. It's what he has always been. When Limbaugh says things, he says it over the top for a reason. Because it garners headlines. Because it grabs the national attention. Now, what he did wrong in this case was offend his advertisers. Well, let's face it. Without the ad revenue coming in, Limbaugh would not be able to do his show. He would not have his personal wealth. He would not have his studios in Florida and New York. So when you make your advertisers mad and you're in his line of work, you have to come out and say you're sorry, which is what he did. He gave a half-hearted, sort of apology a couple days later and has followed it up with a couple more as more and more advertisers have pulled their ad dollars from him. Now, that was the consequence of his saying what he said. I've been in a debate for the last couple of days with a friend of mine. Not a strong debate, nothing awful, nothing mean or anything. But we've been talking back and forth about, well, you know, this very subject and, you know, how he doesn't like Limbaugh and how he thinks that it's a terrible thing what Limbaugh did. And I said, yeah, I agree. It was wrong what he said. It wasn't something that I think he should have said. The young lady did not deserve to be branded a prostitute and a slut. I've known a few of both, and she didn't appear to be one by looking at her, but who knows? You don't know because you don't know her as a person. Limbaugh didn't know her as a person. So while he was politically incorrect and socially incompetent in saying those things about the woman, he had the right to say it. Just as much as people right now have the right to say whatever they want to about Limbaugh, and always have, for that matter. Rush has had his critics, lots of them, through the years, and he's weathered those storms, and he'll weather this one as well. He certainly weathered the supposed racial comments he made about football player Donovan McNabb several years ago when he said that McNabb had been given a pass for his lack of true quarterback talents because he was black. Well, I don't know if it was because he was black or where he went to college or because he was in Philadelphia, but I know that Donovan McNabb sucked as a quarterback in the NFL and now can't find a job in the NFL. So Limbaugh may have gone too far with his analogy as to why McNabb was so popular with such limited skills, but yeah, it's still a fact that McNabb wasn't a good quarterback. And it's also a fact that Limbaugh tries to find those little sore spots to stick a sharp object into and twist. Again, it raises awareness. It raises his marker on the national stage. So he's using his free speech to get exactly what he wants, attention. And the more attention he gets, the better it is for him. Because make no mistake, he could lose 20 advertisers. And there will be 40 that come in behind him to support Limbaugh, either because they agree with what he said or because they understand that he's a marketable commodity. And if they market their products under him, there are a lot of people that are going to, well, you know, go out and buy those products because, for good or ill, they do support what Limbaugh says, even if it is distasteful, even if it is reprehensible. That's the beautiful thing about our First Amendment. It gives us the right to say those things. I have, on more than one occasion, been called terrible things by people who are commenting on either a newspaper or a column or a blog that I've done. I dare say that if you Google my name and the word bicycle today, you will still find places as far as out west towards Colorado that call me an idiot because of my stance on bicyclists on highways. That's just the way it goes. People are allowed to think what they want to about me, and they're also allowed to say what they want to about me and I about them. The law will take care of things that are libelous. The law will take care of slander. That's why it exists. So that when someone does go too far, they have to pay a price for it. Now, Limbaugh's going to pay a price on his advertising for a while, but he'll make that up. And it's quite possible that Ms. Flook will file a suit against him for slander. That could happen, and the evidence is there that he did make harsh comments about her, and that there is a chance he'll have to pay a price for that. But he has a right to say it. I happen to think that several left-leaning commentators, such as Ed Schultz is one, Rachel Maddow another, they say things all the time that are, I think, completely off balance about conservatives, but Usually they're talking about conservative politicians and people that put themselves out there in front of the camera and in front of the microphone so that, well, they can be seen. Once you put yourself out there, then you are fair game for people to make comments. Ms. Look put herself in the public domain. She made herself a target for ultra-conservatives people. I mean, if Limbaugh hadn't jumped up and said something, it's quite possible that candidate Rick Santorum would have. And, of course, that could have been good for everybody because maybe he would be catching the heat for saying something stupid instead of just a radio commentator. And in that case, it would be good for him to be taken down a notch. And after all, Mr. Santorum is one of those folks that would love to see America become a Christian theocracy. And then he could outlaw things like premarital sex and contraception and all those other terrible, ugly things that are supposed to be bad. But again, that is for another day. What Mr. Limbaugh did was reprehensible. But I would stand by him and his right to say it as much as I stand by Ms. Look and her right to get before elected officials and tell them that they need to give contraceptive care to women as part of the Affordable Care Act. Both are right in being able to say what they want to say. Limbaugh is wrong in disparaging a woman that he doesn't know. And Fluck is wrong in saying that we must pay for people's contraception. Personally, myself, I think after the age of 21, you should have to pay for your own. And if you have an insurance company that pays for contraception, pays for abortions, other birth control, and that's what you're looking for in your health plan, then get that health plan. Keep that health plan. Look for a health plan that offers those things. I feel the same way about rehabilitation for drug addicts and alcoholics. I feel the same way about plastic surgery. I feel the same way about erectile dysfunction medications. If you want these things to be covered in your insurance, then find an insurance company that offers those things. They're out there. Again, it costs you a little bit more, but if that's what you're looking for, that's what you get. Just like you can go buy a car, or you can buy a car with all the accessories and add-ons that money can buy, because that's what you are looking for. It's not what you have to have, it's what you want. And if you want health coverage that pays for birth control, contraception, ED, plastic surgery, all the other things that I mentioned, well, go get it. Pay for it, go get it. But don't ask me as a taxpayer to subsidize those things for you. I'm not against a public health care system. I'm not against health care for people that can't afford it, especially in a country that is as rich as ours is. I think we can afford to take care of those sick among us. But when it's a medical treatment that is a choice, something that you're doing not because you have to have a treatment or a medication or a therapy to save your life, but because it makes your life better for you on a personal level, well, that's the things you should have to pay for. If you want condoms, buy condoms. If you want fake breast, pay for them. Whatever the case may be. If you want a sex change operation and go from being a boy to a girl, and girl to a boy, or some other combination of the two, that's not my dollar that's going to pay for that. It's not right. I'm not going to ask you to pay for hair transplant surgery for me, so you shouldn't ask me to pay for your penis. And that's what Ms. Fluck wants. That's a part of what she is proposing that seems to have been left out of a lot of the comment given over what Limbaugh said. That's not what it should be for. It's not my job as a taxpayer to pay for your wants. but I don't mind as a taxpayer paying for your needs. I tended to drift a little bit today in this discussion on the First Amendment. Went from First Amendment to health care rights, to contraception, to taxpayers' rights. And that's the funny thing about talking on a subject. You tend to find that there are other subjects that weave and entwine themselves with the root subject that you're starting with. Most of my podcasts will be like this, so if you found it confusing or hard to follow today, then I might not be the kind of person that you want to spend 20, 30 minutes listening to on a periodic basis. However, I hope that you do come back. This has been Here's My Point, the podcast. Have a point of your own that you want to make? Maybe disagree with a point that I've made? Reach out and tell me about it. Contact me at my email address, ronfitzhcnc@gmail.com. That's ronfitzhcnc@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. Whether you agree or disagree, give me story ideas, things that we can discuss. Together, we can make this thing work. I'm Ron Fitzwater. This is Here's My Point, the podcast. Can't get enough of my opinions? Neither can I. If you want more, stop by the blog. It's Here's My Point, online edition. You can find that on the World Wide Web at heresmypoint-onlineedition.blogspot.com. Once again, that's heresmypoint-onlineedition.blogspot.com.